thank everyone for joining us tonight. Welcome back to all of our regular listeners. And if you're joining us for the first time, welcome. We are Talking Tigs. I'm Scott Girard. Joining me as always, Tommy Johnson, Daniel Zollinger. LSU had a bye week, but still kind of enjoyed the upsets that came with college football. That is the season. Tigers actually moved up in the polls as there were some upsets ahead of us. But, of course, all eyes are looking forward to next week now, since it is, quote-unquote, Bama week. Hope you guys had a good weekend. Happy to go over this with you. You know, recap this another crazy week in college football, as well as look forward to the Tigers hosting the Tide the first time without Nick Saban since, gosh, what, 2007 or eight, seven, I think. Yeah, man, it's been a while, but it's going to be rocking in Tiger Stadium. Game day is going to be there, so people are going to be tailgating all damn day. But exciting as that is, looking forward to talking with you guys here and now.
Yep. Hey, good to be with you. Good to be talking about it. You know, one of the best weeks of the year, pretty much every year. Well, not every year. Most of the, if we're competitive, it's one of the best weeks of the year. And I think this year's one where we are going to be competitive. And like you said, you know, we're not in a vacuum. A lot happened in college football, even though we're on a bye. You know, namely, and we'll get into it, but Texas A&M losing a bad one to South Carolina. So, you know, believe it or not, now we're back in the hunt. We thought it was kind of over. We had fumbled a good opportunity in College Station. But hey, don't sleep on the Tigers. And, you know, with a win against Alabama, like Daniel said earlier, we're weaving maybe in the inside track.
Yes. Hello, listeners. Good evening. If you're listening in the evening, that's when we're recording. But it was a wild week of CFB after a few kind of more tempered weeks in the past few, but plenty of chaos this time with, I think, three or maybe four of the remaining undefeated teams going down. So that list has shrunk significantly. The playoff picture, I'm not even sure if it's much clearer, considering there's the 1 and 2 loss teams are starting to pile up there towards the top of the rankings, and there's going to be a lot to shake out. But thankfully, LSU is still in that mix as we speak and could get a big boost with a huge win against the opponent that you always want to beat, Nick Saban or no, in Alabama, and a prime opportunity on a huge stage to really make a name for ourselves this season. So excited to discuss that with you all and see what the Tigers' chances are this week.
Yeah, and hopefully they're better than last week, or at least in the second half, because it is really a tale of two teams with A&M, since, I don't know, the Tigers had them in the first half, didn't hold it in the second half, and that's why we have two losses now, and now we're, you know, officially on the bubble, although, as we've said the last few weeks, all we have to do is win out. But also, at this point now, we do need people ahead of us to lose, but thankfully that did happen this week. As you mentioned, A&M lose. Not only did they lose, they lost horribly. They lost 44-20. Like Carolina, and raise your hand if you're surprised. I wasn't. I kind of thought Carolina definitely had a chance. And you know, Texas A&M definitely has their work cut out ahead of them, because they do finish out the season with Texas at home. Lord knows that game's been built up for many years now on both sides. But before that, I don't know. I think they maybe could have a trap game at Auburn. I mean, Vandy took care of Auburn this week, but I just know Auburn probably has more in the tank. Hopefully, anyway. But Clemson lost. Louisville took care of Clemson, which is what we all wanted to happen. I mean, there were some other upsets as well. You know, Kansas State lost, Pitt lost, Illinois lost. Their dream season comes to an end, I think. But I think it's just par for the course this year. It sets the Tigers up well this week. We just got to deliver, right?
No, it definitely does. I mean, we were, you know, gifted an opportunity where, you know, last week we controlled our own destiny. After you know, losing A&M, we needed some help, and hey, we just got a little bit of help from A&M themselves and around, you know, from the world around college football. Like you said, with Clemson losing, you know, that's I think that does them in or will weaken their position, which I saw some, I think it was on College Game Day, you know, some people, or they had the bubble situation, which is weird to think about as far as like, you never really have that until now with like, you know, usually that's a baseball or a basketball thing, but because of 12 team playoff, like now we have a real bubble, but they had Clemson on the bubble. So they had, you know, with them taking a loss, that maybe they shouldn't have, I think that, you know, that helps us a little bit, just kind of, so yeah, we're getting a little bit of help from around the league. And, but we still do, you know, still have to take care of business against Alabama. I don't think anybody, you know, thinks that, if we don't win that game, you know, that's a must win.
Right. LSU can certainly use the chaos coming down around us, considering that we've been in the middle of the pack as far as rankings go for most of the season after the week one loss to USC, and especially last week to A&M, when we said that if LSU wins out, there's no guarantee that we'd be in the playoff. We'd have a pretty strong resume with wins against Ole Miss and Alabama, and towards the end of the season, a pretty strong looking Vanderbilt team, which you wouldn't have had that one on the resume before the season. But sitting at 10-2 and possibly with the ticket going to Atlanta for the SEC championship, you'd have to think that LSU is on the inside at that point. Like I said, nothing is set, and we get the first big unveiling of the CFP rankings coming up this Tuesday, the most exciting event going on Tuesday, this November 5th, other than maybe the presidential election. But college football fans will be tuning
into
that.
I care more about the rankings coming out, in my opinion. That's just me.
Exactly. But yeah, we have a perfect opportunity here against Alabama to really jump up into that upper echelon of teams that are not on the bubble and are pretty solidly in, considering that we're number 14 in the overall rankings right now. This is AP, not CFP. We're right on the edge. So we need this one badly. And you have to think if we lose, chances are very, very slim, almost none, considering the amount of other quality teams that are out there with 2-1 or zero losses remaining. So the season's on the line, and let's hope that LSU can rise to the occasion here with College Game Day coming to town for the first time since 2019. Tommy and I were at that College Game Day against Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah. And speaking of Florida, that's the only away game we have remaining. Bama, Vandy, and OU all at home. So it couldn't set up better for the Tigers from this point out. Again, all we got to do is win. I think the Tigers' chances are good. It's a night game in Tiger Stadium next week. Game day is going to be here. I still think, I don't know, maybe there's another night game left with either Vandy or Oklahoma, possibly. But, I mean, you couldn't ask for a better schedule for the last four to run it out. Honestly, I think if LSU wins out and we still don't make the SEC championship, that might favor better, right? Because then we only have two losses, because chances are if we make it to the SEC title game, we're probably going to have to face Georgia. And, yes. Well, you know.
It's like, what was it? Bama? Was it Bama a couple years ago? Yeah, it was Bama a couple years ago, where we beat them. We go to the SEC championship. They get it, and they sneak in the playoff. And because they don't have to face Georgia in the SEC championship. I think it is a better, you know. I would be fine with us sneaking out of the SEC championship, but
yeah, there's been a lot of discussions about that, because the playoff committee said that they wouldn't hold a championship game loss against a team in their playoff considerations. But you have to think that losing in that last week before the selection, especially a bad loss,
will definitely go out there and lay an egg.
Will definitely weigh in the committee's minds, if not anything else other than just recency bias. Like if LSU made it to the championship game and, like you mentioned, Scott, we lost to Georgia 34-10 or something, they're like, is this a playoff worthy team? They've got at this point 3 losses probably. Like, are we going to put a 3-loss team in the playoff that just got smacked over maybe another fringe team that didn't make it? It's hard to say, but probably not. So we just got to play the teams that are in front of us and hope to win them all. You can't guarantee that you win them all, but try and control your own destiny in the most way possible.
Right. And you also can obviously hope for some help along the way as we've already gotten. But just looking at what everybody else is facing, you know, like I said, A&M definitely has their work cut out for them. Tennessee, you know, they had a tough test from Kentucky, at least for the first half. But they, you know, they're not going to have a test this week. They have Mississippi State, but then they got to go at Georgia and then at Vandy 10 the season, which normally you wouldn't really think that was an issue, but this year that could be a tough test. Same with Texas. They still have Florida at home. They have to go at Arkansas. I don't know. Ole Miss handled them pretty easily this week, but that's their offense. I mean, I think you finally saw Ole Miss's offense just unhinged. But then, like I said, Texas has to go to A&M. But hopefully, well, we really need both of them, A&M and Texas, to both lose one each. In Georgia, I don't know. I mean, they're at Ole Miss next or this upcoming week. Then they have Tennessee and Georgia Tech, but I just don't know if I see a loss for them, but maybe it's better if they don't lose and we face them, and who knows, maybe we can handle them, but can't look too far ahead because we do have Bama. It's not a Saban Bama, but it's still Bama. They still got the talent. They still have Milroe. They still have a lot of other guys. Again, I think hopefully this off week, we've had a chance to recalibrate, regroup, re-energize, reorganize, maybe figure out how to get some running game going, for crying out loud. But I mean, it's upon us. So I don't know, Tommy, what do you think our chances are? Do you think this is another kind of like 2 years ago with BK going for two, you know, LSU continues to play themselves into the playoff?
You know, I mean, I think that this team has been so hot and cold this year, but I mean, just judging by our track record off of a bye, we were able, I think I've said this a couple of weeks in a row now, but we were able to, in my opinion, make some serious strides in that bye week that led to us, you know, taking a win against Ole Miss, that which at the time was the biggest game of our season. So I'm liking our, I mean, I think I like our chances. Right now, the line's at 2.5. LSU is a 2.5-point dog. I like that. I think we're okay. This is not a buttoned-up Bama team. This is not a team, you know, a team that is, you know, firing on all cylinders. I think that what concerns me, man, we better be able to get to Milroe and actually tackle him, actually get him. You know, we can't let him shred us the way that A&M's quarterback did in that second half. But other than that, I mean, you think about that freshman phenom they have. You know, how are we going to be able to defend him? Is it Ryan Williams, I believe his name is? Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to need some big performance out of our secondary, which has been, I would say, improving but not great. But other than those two, I think those are the two keys. Other than that, I like her. Oh, actually, you know what? A third key, man, we cannot have three interceptions. We need to protect the ball, protect the football. We need Nussmeier to go back to kind of that, you know, the way he was playing at the beginning of the season, a little bit more deliberate with his passing and not just throwing it up in the air. But I mean, I think if we protect the ball, if we're able to, and we're able to contain Milroe, I think we'll be okay. I mean, at home, at night, Tiger Stadium. I think it's as good an opportunity as we're going to get.
I agree. And I think it sets up in a lot of ways very similarly to that Ole Miss game from a couple weeks ago, where I think they were about a similar favorite going into yes. LSU at night. And we ended up in a squeaker in overtime, but we got the job done there. And the game plan against Alabama, I think, needs to be pretty similar to what we did employ and executed pretty well against Ole Miss, which is, like you said, Tommy, don't beat yourself up, protect the ball. And then on the flip side, try and cause as much difficulty for the opposing offense as possible, putting pressure on the quarterback and let them beat themselves. Cause that's what Ole Miss did with, they had like 150 penalty yards or something. Penalties. And I think one forced fumble and maybe dart or interception, but yeah, so they kind of choked it up at the end. And you could definitely see a similar thing happening with Alabama because Milroe is a very dynamic playmaker, athletic, both in the air and on the ground, but he has six interceptions on the year. He can put the ball into some strange places. And this is not Alabama's best offensive line they've ever had. They've got some good athletes there, but this is not the national championship road graders they've had in the past. So if guys like Braden Swenson and Whit Weeks can get to Milroe and just make something happen, I guess you could say, then we can see a lot of success. But on the flip side, yeah, we can't have any dumb false start killing or false start penalties, killing drives.
I think it's looking like I'm going to be able to be at this game this week. And if Will Campbell or Emory Jones has a false start, I'll get on the field. Like, I'm going to throw a clipboard. I mean, it's getting out of hand. It's getting
Don't
ridiculous. These are supposed to be first round draft picks. And I mean, like Daniel said, those are drive killers. Those are momentum killers. You got a good drive going. You got some rhythm, you got some tempo, and then false start from your All-American left tackle. It's just unacceptable.
Mm-hmm. Other things we've seen in the season, drops from wide receivers. Kyron Lacy's had a few bad ones. Yeah. Even Aaron Anderson had one or two, but he's been pretty sure-handed. But yeah, you could definitely see them getting hyped up on the Saturday night energy, and then a quick strike across the middle that looks like he's about to break for six and then just bounces off his hands, trying to turn upfield before he's really secured the ball. So yeah, just make sure that we do what needs to be done in terms of the fundamentals and let the rest flow from there, because we'll have the crowd behind us. We'll have the energy. LSU knows we're in a do or die situation for the playoffs. So hopefully we feed off that and don't crumble under pressure. But all in all, yeah, I think we're definitely capable of winning this game. Alabama lost to Vanderbilt and they lost to Tennessee. I don't think LSU is much worse than those teams. So we can get it done if we play our best, but we can also definitely not look so good if we play at our worst, which unfortunately we've seen at times this season too, but excited either way. What do you think?
We have a very high ceiling, but a very low floor.
Agreed. What do you think, Scott?
Well, I think the fact that, like you said, they have lost to Vandy and they have lost to Tennessee. They probably should have lost to South Carolina. Maybe the same as we did. South Carolina's, pretty good. As we saw this weekend, they really took care of A&M. But
don't sleep on Beamer Ball.
Right. But that's what I'm saying is that Alabama probably should have another loss there. Yeah. They've had maybe one other this season that they have escaped. So I think it sets up very well for the Tigers. But that being one thing, the other thing is there's still other stuff going on. I think Georgia and Ole Miss, it's going to be a good game. I don't know. Maybe Georgia's been chugging along, after that loss to Alabama, they've kind of found themselves chugging along. But one thing I know is they're always susceptible to, maybe some other loss. That was before Kirby, but I don't know. There's that. I think Michigan going to Indiana, who's still undefeated. Like they're not moving up in the polls, but they're still undefeated. So I think if they lost to Michigan, they would probably drop behind us if we win. Same with BYU and Utah. If I don't know, I feel like Utah is still pretty good. That could be a trap game for them. So that'll help our chances. Now, as far as LSU and Alabama, we just got to play like you said. We did against Ole Miss. We have the loud voices of Tiger Stadium behind us, towards our backs each half. I'd say the Tigers just have to play mistake-free football, and they'll be fine. They'll walk away with a win. Because, yeah, it's not the same Bama of old. Still talent. Still plenty of talent. And they can take advantage of our mistakes. We just have to not make any, you know?
And another note there is I'm kind of expecting and hoping for maybe a heavy dose of Caden Durham at the early part of this game against Alabama. He didn't have his best game of the season by any means last week against A&M, they bottled him up pretty much. He did have one touchdown receiving, but out of the backfield, pretty much ineffective. But I can see LSU go into him early and often to try and kind of set the tone, attack Alabama, try and get them on their heels and let Nussmeier get comfortable so he doesn't make a costly mistake right out the gate. And we need Durham to be at his 100% level that we saw early in the season, explosive, looking for big chunk plays. He's had 2 weeks now off the bye week to get fully healthy because he wasn't necessarily that way before. So if he can really be a spark plug for us on offense, I think that could go a long way towards success. And on the flip side, we mentioned Milroe. They kind of have a three-headed monster out of the backfield between him out of the pocket and then Jam Miller and Justice Haynes getting carries. So they have kind of a split backfield, but no true, like there's no Mark Ingram or Derrick Henry that's just going to run you over, Najee Harris, nobody like that. So this is definitely manageable and an opportunity for Whit Weeks and Greg Penn and the rest of the linebacking core to really get in there and make some stops and get the crowd on their feet. So I'm hoping that happens.
I agree. And I think that, you know, ball control will be a huge thing that for us, if we can, like, I think that we have played our best when we have been able to have, you know, somewhat steady methodical drives. When we have struggled is a lot of three and outs. You know, you can't even put anything together. It's first down, some weird throw, you know, weird downfield throw that goes over Kyron Lacy's head. Then it's second and 10. Then we hand it off to Durham. He gets like 3 yards, and then it's third and 7, and you got to figure something out. I'm looking for us. Yeah. And Daniel, to your point on Caden Durham, I looked for us to use him to, try to control the ball and control the clock. And not that we need to like play keep away against Alabama, but that's what I would like to see. I would see us dominate the possession time, the time of possession. And I think that would be it. Kind of like what, I mean, you look at what, at how Tennessee beat Alabama this year. They kept it low scoring and, mm-hmm. you know, we're able to kind of, and that's a Tennessee team with a high flying offense. That's, you know, Heupel doesn't shy away from throwing the ball and trying to score a bunch of points. But I think that a key to them beating Alabama was the way they were able to control the ball. So that's what I would look for us to do.
Yeah. Did y'all see any of that Tennessee, Kentucky game? Cause man, that offense, it wasn't flying as high. They were just, it took a while to get going. I think they had one touchdown before half at home against Kentucky, who's now, I think, 1-6 in conference. So it's just, I don't know. I see them possibly tripping up, but yeah, they're definitely dangerous. Now, as far as LSU, I don't know. I have it on good source that Garrett Nussmeier did some grocery shopping this week, and he had a lot of items in his basket just to, like, help do a cleanse. So I think he's flushing out the last game, and he's getting ready for Bama, and we're going to see him on point, and we're going to see Durham out of the backfield. All our receivers are going to catch everything thrown to them. And we're going to see Sage Ryan. I'm not going to say a pick six, but he's going to have
he's due for a flash.
Well, he's done pretty good this year. He's had a few good hits, which, I mean, yeah, one was a really bad penalty, but it's something. That's what you want to see.
You got to look at that glass half full.
Exactly.
And yes, Scott, you're right. I can confirm that Garrett Nussmeier was indeed at Rouse's earlier this week.
I was going to ask. Rouse, yes.
And he was, you know, purchasing groceries. It was nice to see him. He's, you know, stopped me and said, thank me for telling the truth on this podcast. And, you know, said that he understood that I was just that even though I've been a little hard on him, that I'm just doing my job. It was really, really nice to see Garrett out and about at the grocery store.
Good. Well, all in all, do we have any score predictions for how we think this big one's going to go down on Saturday night?
All I'm going to say is Tigers going to win by a field goal. I'm not giving a score. I just think that's what it'll be.
I think that it's a low scoring game. Well, I think that if we want to win, it's a low scoring game and I want us to win. So I'm going to say LSU wins like 28-20. We, you know, we achieve what I was talking about. We control the ball. We Caden Durham has a really good game, probably rushes for over 100 yards. Nussmeier protects the football. And I would say Aaron Anderson continues to be – he's still not – I don't know if he'll ever be wide receiver one, but I think he's been the maybe second half of the season star as far as receiving core goes, and I think he has a big game against his former team, which is always kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a close one, like y'all said. Unfortunately, given what we saw last week at LSU against A&M, I'm not quite sure the Tigers have enough juice in the tank, especially with how Nussmeier has been playing as of late. The defense has been good, which is not what we thought we were going to say, and Nussmeier has been not so good. If we get the best from both worlds, then yes, we can win this game, not easily, but pretty solidly.
If we can put it together, we can play with anybody in this country, I think.
I agree. I just don't know if at this point in the season, if we can count on those chickens or those eggs hatching here against Alabama. So it's going to be tough. And I think the Tide will get it done maybe by nose, something like 24-21, pulling away just by a hair late. Hoping I'm wrong. I think I was the only one who predicted us to lose against Ole Miss. And I think both of y'all said we were going to win, and then LSU did win. Maybe we'll see the same thing, but it should be exciting nonetheless. And hopefully next week when we're podcasting, then LSU will still be in that playoff hunt.
Yeah, and we'll get you a Nussmeier jersey.
To go with my Joe Burrow jersey, because I doubted him once upon a time.
Exactly.
And he threw 5 touchdown passes today.
I know, right? That's amazing. And Jaden's team got the win too. They're both doing well, and that bodes well for us, because then you have somebody like Bryce Underwood's coming in, and now there's a big push trying to get him to stay to Michigan. But dude was wearing LSU cleats during his high school game Friday, where Joe Sloan made a personal appearance. So I don't know. It kind of points to a lock, right, Daniel?
I think things are looking pretty good on that front. And when is Nationals or early signing day?
Probably February. That's right. The early signing day.
November 13th. So 10 days away. So might be locking in quite soon.
There we go. And he's going to be in Baton Rouge this weekend, right? That's what I had heard. Like, he's making his official visit.
Yes. Oh no, yes. I'm wrong. Wednesday, December 4th. Well,
yeah, that's right. Yeah.
IMG Academy was telling me the wrong date.
Well, that's on IMG, but I think Bryce is going to be in town for this next game for his official visit, which is great. But I don't know. What else, guys?
Well, yeah, what other games are we talking about this week? Well, obviously, LSU's got the big one prime time against Alabama, but they got the SEC triple header. ESPN was broadcasting that. Was Texas versus Florida at noon, and then Georgia Ole Miss 3:30, and then LSU in the evening. Well, depending on your time zone, I guess. But right. So that should be fun to watch back to back, possibly.
I already mentioned mine. Michigan and Indiana. I think maybe Michigan just has a great day and upsets them. Then we got BYU and Utah. Other than that, I don't really see anything else. There's no other upsets game. I mean, anything can happen, right? As far as this season's going.
Yeah, it seems like anything can happen.
I didn't see any other upsets, though.
One possibly.
A unranked South Carolina taking on the juggernaut Vanderbilt, number 24 juggernaut Vanderbilt. I could see South Carolina taking down the doors.
I was thinking about South Carolina after they beat A&M yesterday. They lost to LSU on a last-second field goal that drifted wide right. If that would have gone in, they would have beat us. And they lost to Alabama on a failed two-point conversion at the very end. So they're literally two plays away from being 6-1 and probably a top-5 South Carolina team, which is kind of crazy to say. So things can shift on a dime in the SEC, and that's how narrow the margins are this year. You mentioned possible upset alerts. Clemson, after they kind of dropped a stinker against Louisville, they go to Virginia Tech this week. Could they go on a slide here, lose two in a row? And
almost, hostile environment.
Yeah, almost eliminate themselves from the playoff contention. That would be pretty rough. Also, Colorado, the Fighting Deons, all of a sudden are back in the playoff hunt. They're not dead. They're still alive in the Big 12 race, and they're going to Texas Tech, who had a big win against Iowa State ending their undefeated season. I watched the end of that one yesterday. So maybe if you like some Colorado football, you can tune in and see, because I mean, the expectations were not super high, but a playoff berth for Deion, the media would eat that up in a heartbeat.
Yeah. And you know what? I didn't think of it at first, because Tennessee's got UF, or they're playing at the Swamp, and I didn't really think of it. But now that I think about it, Billy Napier had his boys ready to play this week against Georgia. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, he did.
So I don't know. Maybe he could do it to you. I mean, 2 weeks in a row. I mean, they didn't get the win, but they showed up, which I think at this point, yeah, he's on the hot seat. But he was
that might be the first time that his boys have showed up in his tenure.
Yeah, like if he'd have pulled that off, they'd be 5-3. So he would have, like, his seat could have been cooling by now. But if he beats Tennessee at home,
that's Texas. Hey,
what's that? Oh, I'm sorry. Wait, what? Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. Sorry, I had UT and all right, never mind. I guess Tennessee didn't play, or maybe they already did Florida. Sorry, I had UT and I thought it was Tennessee. My bad.
But it could be.
Who's the real UT?
That's a good point, Daniel. But hey, right. Scott, I think the point still stands. I mean, Texas, I don't think they're a lock, you know, like if Florida can go give Georgia a run for their money, why can't they give Texas a run for their money?
Exactly.
Especially it's an 11 a.m. kickoff, weird time slot. As we all know, like that is not a time slot that
fans love.
Fans love, or you know, you have to be real locked in. A team, you know what I mean? Like a team has to be real locked in to get that, to get over that. And, you know, what if Texas comes in a little bit hungover, a little bit draggy? You never know.
Yep, could be. I don't know. I'd say the Georgia Ole Miss game would also be pretty telling, because I'd say either Georgia just does their thing or Ole Miss throws another wrench into the system.
Mm-hmm. And then one more.
I feel like we say this every year, but like, man, this year. I mean, nobody's safe this year, like at all. I don't know what it is. Something's in the water.
Yeah. One thing I've kind of been liking about this year, which I was unsure how I would feel about it going into it in regards to the 12-team playoff, is that there's so many teams that are not even – they're not eliminated at this point. Like a lot of people, they've got a dog in the hunt. Yeah. Even if you're not a playoff front runner, like we're talking about like Colorado backdooring in, or – I mean, even Florida, they've got four losses, but if they win their last four games, they're going to have wins over LSU, Texas, Ole Miss, and somebody else. Like, it's not impossible. And just the fact that you can make the conference championship and win, even if your resume is not the best at that point, it gives a lot of intrigue to the season. And we've harped a lot on the fact that college football has become so playoff centric at the detriment to other aspects of the sport. But it has been pretty entertaining in my point of view that all these teams are like, yeah, we got a chance, and we're in week 10 at this point, and there's still probably 25 teams or so that could realistically have a shot. And even if that only gets whittled down to 12 at the end of the day. So I think that's been pretty fun. And it's good to see all the storylines there, including like the group of five team, like Army is still undefeated. They're going to North Texas. People say in America's team, they keep winning. So yeah. That'd be pretty cool to see Army make the playoff year one of the expanded format.
Yes. And, I don't know. It'd be cool if there was like you said, Army played Air Force this week. It would be awesome if Army made the playoff, and I think America would be rooting for them. Talk about a Cinderella story, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. That would be cool to see Army run the triple option offense against like Georgia or something in the first round of the playoff and see how that would shake out. Obviously Georgia would be heavily favored still, but that's the type of thing you're like, what's going to happen here?
Yeah.
Right. But lots to look forward to, especially next weekend. I mean, we're going to have it for you here on Talking Tigs, guys. I don't know if you had anything else outside of that. I'd say some LSU quarterbacks look good in the pros this weekend, as well as some other players, but, I don't know. I think LSU baseball had a really good signing, a top prospect out of Florida. Women's basketball, men's basketball both start. Well, women's basketball already played a scrimmage. Yeah. And the men's basketball will start up this week. So lots going on in Baton Rouge, but I'd say all eyes are on the football Tigers next week in Tiger Stadium. I think it'll live up to the hype. Hopefully everyone paces themselves throughout the day, you know, because they got 9 a.m. Game day start. Well, 8 a.m. for y'all, right? Game day starts. Tommy, you're going to be down there with a sign or something?
Man, I don't know. I'll think on it, but...
Okay.
Here's a question. This is a prediction of a prediction. Who do you think Lee Corso is going to pick? Which headgear is he going to put on?
Or who would be the guest picker?
Probably LSU always kind of fumbles the guest picker. I don't know. I don't think that comes from. I think Corso is going to put.
Wasn't Theo Vaughn the guest picker last time it was in Baton Rouge?
Sounds right.
I don't think so. It was John Goodman against Florida in 2019, if I remember correctly.
Did they not come? Oh, never mind. But he's been on game day before, I think.
Sure.
Maybe, but that would make sense.
He could. I feel like he could be a guest picker.
Could Kim Mulkey. So could Shaq. So could a lot of people.
But I think Corso probably. Corso?
I think he loves Alabama. He loves to put on that elephant, wave the trunk around. But he also likes to favor the home team, and he likes putting on Mike as well. So it's a hard call. I think he goes with Alabama though.
He does like wearing Mike. I'll take Mike Daniel, and we can settle up a little wager.
Get a betting prop on Corso.
Yeah.
There you go.
How outrageous is Pat gonna be? That's the real question.
When you say outrageous, do you mean obnoxious?
Yes.
Yeah, Tommy, you got to hit the gym and start practicing your field goals in case you get picked for the fan field goal selection.
You have to be in school for that, don't you?
You can't just be
enroll
a random heckler. If you could make it, if it was guaranteed like $100,000, then it might be worth it.
Yeah, can't you just take a night class?
Yeah, I know. Like I could go enroll. Am I the only one who like looks at that and I'm like that does not look that hard?
It's like, not.
The guy made it. The first one he made it, was it 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
You got $100,000?
I think it was like 150, because like sometimes they'll like throw a little juice on there.
I think the hard part,
like, I'll dump it a few
to goals. Try and throw them off.
I think the hard part about it is that you're kicking like in your tennis shoes, and then they're holding the football with the hand, and it's not like you practice on a tee or something. And it might
like
be
a wall of people.
Yeah,
like
some right choppy grass, a lot of pressure.
You're on national television. Mm-hmm. Pat McAfee is screaming in your face about stuff. You're just like, you know, I just be like, get out of my face. Let me kick this ball. but Ben the dog is there sometimes, which I feel like that's a plus.
Yeah. Maybe he'll meet Mike.
Oh, that'd be fun.
There we go. All right. Well, I think that was about it for us here on Talking Tigs. Tune in next week. We will have it all for you. The Tigers and the Tide and the rest of the college football chaos that will ensue. So until then, I hope everyone has a great week. It's now November. Buckle down. We're about to get into the stretch here. So until then, stay safe, stay tuned, and we'll talk to you next time right here on Talking Tigs.